Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from the Gospel of Matthew,
chapter 18. At that time the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses comes. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Therefore, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses.
Lesson 18, The Heart of Jesus. Today in Matthew 18, we shall learn about two important principles that Jesus taught his followers. He taught the need for humility, and he taught the importance of forgiveness. Jesus teaches humility through our attitude towards small children, and he teaches the importance of forgiveness through a parable about a king and his indebted servant. Jesus' teaching on humility and forgiveness reveals his heart towards us. Let's first consider the lesson on humility that we may learn through small children. While the disciples wanted to know who was greatest in the kingdom of God, Jesus took a small child and said, "Unless one is converted and becomes as a small child, they shall not enter the kingdom of God." He is teaching us that to be his disciple and enter into his kingdom, you must be willing to humble yourself, to admit our sin and confess our guilt, and repent before God requires humility. This humility that brings us into the kingdom is the humility that should govern our Christian life and will testify to a true conversion. Jesus said, "To receive a small child in his name is to receive him." Jesus closely identifies himself with young children, for they do not exhibit pride and are in many ways innocent and under God's protection. If someone causes a child to sin, he says it would be better for a millstone to be tied around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. We should learn that God loves and cares for children and has angels assigned to protect them. Anyone who seeks their harm is provoking the wrath of God. Offenses will come in this world,
but the man who causes offenses will meet with God's severest judgment. While Jesus talks about despising or harming children, he calls on us to do radical self-judgment so that we can avoid God's judgment in hell. He said it is better to cut off a hand or cut out an eye than to allow these parts of our bodies to sin. It seems he is talking about how we view children and how we treat them physically. Because they are small and weak, we are inclined to take advantage, look down upon them, mistreat them, and even abuse them. The exploitation of our power over young children through verbal or physical abuse is a grievous sin in the sight of God and will bring very severe judgment. In fact, it would be better to be lame or blind than to face God's wrath. We need to love, guide, and protect children as those who are very dear to God. We learn from this passage that angels watch over children for their protection. This is a great comfort to parents, but also a warning to any that should seek to harm a child. Still on the subject of God's love for these little ones, Jesus gives us a lesson about 100 sheep and how one got lost. He said the shepherd will leave the 99 and search for that one that got lost until it is found. It was Jesus' mission to come into the world to seek and to save those who were lost, and there is not one little person that God does not care about. He thinks every person is of great value and wants to show his love to the little children as well as to all the adults. A culture that does not love and protect its children will certainly not please God. If we have the same heart as Jesus has, then we will love what he loves, and he loves children and wants to bless them with salvation. We also have in this chapter the importance of forgiveness. So often offenses bring about strife and division, but this is not how the followers of Jesus are to behave. Christians are called to be peacemakers, seek reconciliation and forgiveness with their brethren. God does not accept contentions and divisions among his children and commands us to deal with our differences and offenses. There is a biblical method of dealing with offenses that goes in stages from the least authority to the greatest authority to bring about submission to Christ. First, we go alone to our brother that has offended and try to deal with the offense. But if he will not hear, then we can go with one or two witnesses to ensure every word is established. The order is very important, for many offenses can be easily dealt with on a personal level. When brethren are open and honest to talk of the offense and willing to work together for a solution, the final step is to take the matter to the church, and if the offending brother does not listen to the collective voice of the church, then he is to be treated as an unbeliever. That is because he behaves like an unbeliever, since he will not submit to Christ's authority as represented through his church. The church does have Christ's authority when they meet in his name. To meet in Jesus' name is not just an empty phrase. It means to meet together under his authority with a desire to see his will and his righteousness fulfilled, and in humble dependence upon his presence and guidance through prayer. When the church meets in this manner, it carries the authority of Christ, an agreement between heaven and earth, between Christ the head and the church which is his body, for discipline to those who refuse to yield to Christ through the church. It is very important that the church only act according to the word of God, to ensure they carry the judgment and authority of Christ. There is no room for men's opinions or human pride when dealing with offenses among brethren. Because we see a three-stage process of seeking peace and reconciliation, it teaches us that God cares very much not only about justice but also about mercy. We should always seek the path of mercy and forgiveness prior to making judgment, for this is the heart of our Lord. Jesus tells us a parable to illustrate the importance of forgiveness. He spoke of a king who had a servant with a great debt that could not be paid, and when the servant pleaded for time and consideration, the king took compassion and forgave his debt. But then the servant showed no compassion to his fellow servant who owed him a much smaller debt. The lesson we learn from this is that, since God has forgiven our great debt through our Lord Jesus Christ, showing us great compassion and mercy, then we should be able to forgive those who have offended us, for the amount of offenses done against us are very small in comparison to the many offenses we have done against our God. When it comes to forgiveness, God will treat us as we treat our fellow men. If we can forgive our brother 490 times, as Jesus instructs, then God will be glad to do the same for us. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Now for today's Bible question. Today we have been learning about the heart of Jesus as he taught about humility and forgiveness. Someone might ask the question, why should I have to forgive someone who has done wrong to me? If you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, then he requires you to demonstrate both humility and forgiveness. To follow Jesus and to call ourselves Christians means to acknowledge his authority over our lives, and therefore a willingness to submit to him. In life there will be many occasions when others offend us, but as Christians, we always must remember how much our sins have offended God. We had a much greater debt of offenses before our God than any other person's offenses towards us. Because our God is compassionate and willing to forgive our debt, we also should have the grace and humility to offer forgiveness to others who offend us. It is important for all believers to look upon the price that Christ paid for our offenses. He suffered greatly and was brutally executed, rejected and despised by the people he came to save, and bore the judgment for all our sins. Through the sacrifice of Jesus, God is able to let us go free, to forgive all of our debt. This was done by grace, not because we deserve it. In fact, what we really deserve is to be cast into hell, to suffer for our sins. But God loved us so much that he wanted to rescue us from that judgment. If we say we believe the gospel, that is, Christ died for our sins, then it only makes sense that we, his children, should be grateful, humble, and full of forgiveness. I think the problem for many people is that they are trying to earn their way to heaven, so that they think that a person is accepted by God based on how good they are. With this kind of thinking, it only seems right and fair to repay those who offend us. But this thinking is man's thinking, and is in direct opposition to the gospel. We will never be accepted because of our goodness, for the Bible says we are all sinners, and that there is none good, no, not one. If we truly experience God's forgiveness, then we will understand it is upon the basis of God's grace, and compassion, and we will be compelled as His children to show the same grace and compassion to others. To hold on to offenses is strong evidence of not knowing the forgiveness of God, and therefore not being God's child at all. Perhaps in hearing this lesson on God's forgiveness through grace, you have come to realize that you are not truly God's child, because you have never understood the terms of God's salvation, which is based upon the mercy of God and not upon how good you are. If you can admit before God that you are a guilty sinner and deserve His judgment, and then ask Him to forgive you and accept you, not only can He forgive you, but He promises to do so through the payment Jesus has made for your sins on the cross. Yes, I am able and obligated to truly forgive others when I have known the forgiveness of God through Christ. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32.
Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.bibleassemblychurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God,
being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus.
Take and seal it for thy courts above.
Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, "Freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I will know that I